To kick off each hour of our pledge drive with prayer, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Atlanta to lead us in prayer.
We are the Honor Society of Regina Chaley Academy. We're high school students in Atlanta, Georgia. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who didst instruct the hearts of thy faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise, and to ever rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Regina Chaley School. We love it. We love it here at The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, the production and programming director at AM 1160, The Quest. And this is our Quest for Holiness pledge drive going on. We are now in hour 14 of 24, so that means 11 more, 10 more after this one. I'm going to introduce who's in the room here with me in just a second, but I just want to mention a few things here first. We are really hoping for monthly donations. If you can swing, it doesn't matter what amount it is, we want to get 100 new monthly donations during this pledge drive, which ends tomorrow evening. So if you want to do that, that would be great. If you want to make a one-time donation too, though, that's totally fine too. The phone number to do that is 470-508-1160, and you can do it from the Quest Atlanta app. You can do it from thequestatlanta.com as well. And once again, that phone number is 470-508-1160. And as a thank you for your donation, everybody who donates, no matter what it is going to get a Magnificat magazine certificate just for one copy. But that's pretty cool. And if you already subscribe to it, then give it to somebody. Make a great gift. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let me tell who's in the room. And I think this is a great... I don't know if you were listening. Our last hour was noon to 1 o'clock, but we had all the youth ministers in there. And I think this is a great follow-up to that, mm-hmm. because after they leave our youth ministers, they come and see you people. they come and see Father Bob Frederick from Kennesaw. How you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. They come and see Father Uray Mark from... There's a lot of them here. Georgia State University, Clark AU, Spelman, and Morehouse, yeah, correct?
That is correct.
So you do all that stuff, and there's, what, three of you? Seems like there would have to be. I don't know. But anyway, and then Sean Stassi from the University of West Georgia. Yep. So welcome, all three of you. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks for having us.
And so first of all, let's establish what you... are or what you do. What is it exactly you do on the campuses? Any one of you.
All right. So I'm Father Bob Frederick. So I'm the director of the Catholic Center at Kennesaw State University. Also jump out and help out at Berry College, a more Catholic community over there, mm-hmm. in Rome, Georgia. And make sure the sacraments are celebrated, spiritual direction, and then just kind of work with the officers of the student recognized organization. So for us, it's the Catholic Student Union at Kennesaw State. And so we plan retreats and think of programming and getting speakers and doing some of the things ourselves. We've just started with Focus, have four missionaries on campus this semester, and they help us, you know, with Bible studies and kind of mentoring and some retreats and things like that.
Cool. What about you, Sean?
So I've been at the University of West Georgia as the campus minister for over a year full time now, and I've only been Catholic for just over 2 years. So it's just been such a blessing watching the Lord work in my life, and all I had to do is say yes. And basically what I do is just try to lead these students to the Lord in whatever way that is. And you know, with the help of Father Gaurav Shroff, our local parish, he comes and helps celebrate the sacraments and lead the students as well. I just try to point them towards God, and I think that's what our role is as campus ministers and what these amazing priests do as well at their respective colleges. So I'm blessed to be here.
And Father Mark, kind of the same thing?
Yes, and kind of, but I'm the chaplain director for the Lighthouse. So the Lighthouse... Mm-hmm. The Lighthouse Newman Center is one of a kind in the whole United States.
Why is that?
On the one hand, we serve three HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And in the whole United States, you have about 107 HBCUs, mm-hmm. and you have only 10 served by the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And the Lighthouse is serving 3.5. Maurice Brown just came mm-hmm. back, so it'll make that 4. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the other 6 are served by other Newman centers. Mm-hmm. So the Lighthouse then, on the other hand, we have Georgia State University, the largest university in the state of Georgia, mm-hmm. that has diversities mm-hmm. upon diversities. Mm-hmm. So it's a very special, unique role to do masses at Georgia State, have faith mm-hmm. formation. Actually, tonight we got Bible studies at Georgia State. Mm-hmm. And then at the Lighthouse, you know, it's like the mother house for, you know, HBCU Catholic Newman Ministry. Mm-hmm. We have a nice Bowman Scholar program that has strong, good music. And we have the Newman Scholar program. And those Newman Scholars are like ambassadors to the different campuses we serve. Mm-hmm. And so we provide training. So right now I'm in the process of doing what we call a training for evangelization so that they can be peer evangelizers and missionary mm-hmm. disciples. So that's the project I'm working on right now.
Wow, that's great.
In addition to the sacramental work. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. Sure, that, as a priest, you would be that's doing something important, right? Yeah. Exactly. So I guess what I want to, there's a lot I want to talk about here, and I know you mentioned retreats and everything, and I want to talk about that. But I'd like to start off, first of all, what issues, what challenges are these young adults facing right now? I know that that's like an age where, you know, they're first out of the house from their parents, yeah. from under their parents' roof, and they mm-hmm. they can go down one of two roads, mm-hmm. and you try to get them down the right road. So that's part of it. But what how is that a challenge?
Yeah, I mean, so me recently being in college, I'm 28 years old. I graduated from Berry College in 2017. I wasn't Christian then. I did, you know, experience attempts to evangelize me, I guess, but not from the Catholic church. It was just from, you know, different other Protestant non-denominational organizations. And it just never seemed of interest to me. And I don't know, it wasn't a priority. And it mm-hmm. seemed to me that my peers, it was more of a hobby. And I think, I don't know, a challenge that I see now knowing the truth, having that light that Christ provides and saying yes to that and experiencing joy for the first time after saying that yes and being married with kids and having all this love that I never knew existed, knowing the kind of isolating environment that college can have when you leave your parents' household, you don't have that foundational kind of love around you. You're kind of on your own and you want to experience things for the first time mm-hmm. and church where say, and so I deal with most of the students at the Catholic Center at the University of West Georgia are cradle Catholics. So they were raised in the faith, but it seems to me that it's kind of it's of diluted importance to them. It's not when they leave the house going up through their upbringing, they were, you know, they went to mass, checked the box, went through confirmation, all those things. They're out of the house now. They're like, okay, I need to figure out if this is something I want to continue to do or not. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's two paths, right? They can, you know, continue on the track with their faith and their relationship with Jesus. But what I found a lot talking with students is they want to have that encounter with Jesus themselves. They haven't had an encounter with Christ yet, truly.
It's been through their parents.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been through their mm-hmm. parents going to mass. And they say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe that this stuff is true, but they haven't experienced it yet. And so I think talking about retreats is what we're going to talk about. That's a great way to present them the opportunity to experience Christ away from the hustle and bustle mm-hmm. of the academic life and the secular, like West Georgia is a very secular campus. They're great, but it's not really a great environment to cultivate your Catholic faith. And we were talking before we came in here that it can be sometimes scary to proclaim your faith, and sometimes you shy away from that because you don't want to get ridiculed by your peers mm-hmm. and the worst things that these students fear is being judged by their peers mm-hmm. and being seen as, you know, weird, or they don't want to be outcasted mm-hmm. and I think what these Catholic centers provide
canceled
correct and what these Catholic centers provide on these campuses, these Newman centers, they provide like a safe haven, a beacon where they can be themselves. And I think mm-hmm. what our job is to cultivate that into a discipleship, into a disciple, to send them out so that they can boldly proclaim the gospel and attract people, students to them through their boldness. So,
yeah, that, and I'm going to stop you right there just because I want to jump in here when you said that this is like a place where they can be themselves. They're not judged or anything. And I want to say that just because we have a volunteer here, Adam, who said, he said the same thing. He said, when I come to the Quest, when he volunteers here, he steps inside here, he's not going to be ostracized. He's not going to be outcast or whatever because of what he believes or feelings he has or whatever. Right. And I think that that's an important thing. You know, I get to experience that here at the Quest. This is the first workplace I've ever had. I mean, I've always worked out in the secular world.
Right.
And this is the first place I've ever had where I can be myself. I can talk about Jesus and whatever, you know? And so this is the kind of thing that the Quest is trying to spread everywhere, all through the Atlanta area. And we do that with our programming. We do it with outreach. You know, we're trying to reach out to the parishes. We're trying to reach out to the campus ministries and and the young people, the youth ministers and everything. And if this is the kind of thing you feel is important, as obviously all four of us sitting in this room do, otherwise we wouldn't even be sitting here right now.
Right.
If you feel this is important, please help us out on the Quest for Holiness pledge drive. You can call 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app that's on your phone. You can go to questatlanta.com. And some people just like old school phone numbers and want to talk to a live human being. And we've got a whole bunch of, and they're all volunteers sitting down there in the phone banks. You can call 470-508-1160. And I want to thank, I almost overlooked this, and this is huge. So the first six donors, and I think we still have a couple left, are going to get a gift card to Chicken Salad Chick.
Oh, snap.
Chicken Salad Chick.
I need a call. I need a call real quick.
Yes, you do. And also, we've got matching funds of $3,000. So whatever amount you want to donate, up to $3,000, that's going on until 4 o'clock today. Mm. So make sure you take advantage of that. Because if you're thinking, I don't know, I might donate, I might wait till later. Don't wait till later. Do it now because you can take advantage. And we don't want to leave one penny of that $3,000 up there. We want to use every penny of that match. So, and I'll get back to you guys in just a minute. But we want to thank a few people here. Rebecca from Marietta, and that came in the 12 o'clock hour, our previous hour. That was in honor of Kathy. And Robert from Roswell in honor of Kathy. That came in then. But now in this hour, we have Lois and Bill in Roswell. Thank you very much. And Lisa in Atlanta. And Edith, thank you very much for donating. And we're looking for those monthly pledges if we can. We really need those monthly pledges because when you get those, you can kind of plan a little bit more. It's like, you know, okay, I know we have this much coming in. We can kind of budget for maybe a new piece of equipment we need or something like that. So anyway, Sean, we heard from you as far as, you know, some of the challenges that we're facing, you know, keeping them on the straight path. Fathers, either of you want to chime in on that as far as what it takes to keep them going in the right direction once they get to college?
Yeah, I will chime in. That is Father Mark, and I will just pick up from where Sean ended. And in the Lighthouse, it's a beautiful name, Lighthouse, because these students, when they come, you know, some are leaving home and like, I would just chill, you know. I'll be free of my mom taking me to church. And then they run into the Catholic Center, you know.
Right.
And then by the time you look, they say, wow, this is my home away from home.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and what is happening now? We have students who graduate. Normally, they should go back to their parishes, but they come back to the center and still want to be part of community because they rediscover themselves in their emerging adulthood. They are no longer being taken to church. They are now taking responsibility and ownership of their faith and all that that entails. And so what has been amazing for me is that to accompany these emerging adults, baptized Catholics, Some did not finish the sacrament, and then they get to complete the sacrament at the lighthouse, you see? Mm-hmm. And so the mission there helps them to fulfill those sacrament of initiation, but then also to be part of that community of believers, where at the heart of everything we do is the Eucharist, the liturgy. Mm-hmm. And that's in there, you know, they bring their troubles, they bring their trials, they bring everything to the altar of God, mm-hmm. because they want to be holy people. Mm-hmm. They want to be close to Christ. They want to encounter him and be empowered by him. Mm-hmm. I'll turn it up to Father Bob to add his charm to it.
Can I just ask one thing? I want just clear something up. So I'm curious if a lot of them have... Like, are they learning this, to bring their troubles and bring their baggage and everything to Christ? I mean, are they learning that there? Do they know that from home and they're bringing that and they're continuing it? Or are you kind of...
Well, we have a faith formation program, and some of the different discussions that we have in faith formation accompanies them to that stage where mm-hmm. they now mm-hmm. see the liturgy as a place, they now see the sacrament of reconciliation as a venue, mm-hmm. you know, and the sacrament of reconciliation, the liturgy, the Eucharistic liturgy is so special because in the liturgy, it's structured in such a way that the sacramentalized are evangelized, you know, mm-hmm. and that is holiness. Mm-hmm. Holiness, you know, when they receive the sacrament and all of that, the babies and they're being carried to church. Mm-hmm. But now as sacramentalized people being evangelized through the liturgy, mm-hmm. you know, through the Lord mm-hmm. have mercy, the Kyrie mm-hmm. eleison, the glory to God, mm-hmm. where we glorify God and we become sanctified people of God, uh-huh. you know, making a journey to the altar mm-hmm. to receive mm-hmm. Christ in the Eucharist,
yeah.
you know, the sacramentalized become evangelized. Mm-hmm. We accompany them in that direction.
Mm-hmm. So you're just steering them in the right direction,
that
I guess.
That is correct, yes.
We want to say that. Yeah. So Father Bob, you want to add anything to that? Or
yeah. Yeah, I think you guys have both talked a little bit about, you know, community. And I think, just a lot of the students coming on campus and they are hungry. Like they want to belong in their... And you know, sometimes just with media and technology, you know, we all know like we're better connected, but mm-hmm. we have shallower relationships. We're not as deep and mm-hmm. might feel a little more isolated, and that could rise to depression and so mm-hmm. forth. So I think whenever they visit one of our Catholic centers, they do encounter a community that they'd really do love each other and what's behind, you know, that love and that joy and it's very attractive and they do want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And then looking deeper, you know, what is the joy in your life? Why are you so joyful? And then mm-hmm. coming to encounter Jesus Christ again through the sacraments. And that could be, you know, through the liturgy. There's so many times people come to us in the sacrament of reconciliation, you know, Father, I haven't been in confession in 5 years or, mm-hmm. or maybe not since my first confession. And it's just a true come to Jesus time and a time for renewal and to begin again. And it's so beautiful. Or they'll come to Mass and maybe they've never seen a community of young people really singing mm-hmm. and praising God with passion and not just mouthing the songs, but really, mm-hmm. really meaning it.
And that's great because they're doing this because they've made a decision to do that. It's right. not like, oh, mom's dragging me to church mm-hmm. again, you know. Mm-hmm. They're making a conscious effort for mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm curious about, and it's just kind of occurred to me as you were talking, but when, you know, the pandemic hit and everybody, yeah. you know, all the high schools, all the schools closed down basically. And, you know, they were, my boys, I've got two teenage boys, and they were, you know, sitting in front of a computer screen, mm-hmm. but they weren't interacting they were interacting through a screen with their friends,
right?
But they weren't, you know, like you, like we are sitting here in a room talking to each other. Do you notice anything? I mean, Sean, I know you haven't been in it long enough to know, to see a difference, but have you noticed, like, is there a difference in the kids that are, you know, maybe graduated in 2021 or 2022 who, or even this year, I suppose, that have, I mean, is there a difference in that you're seeing, or is this just, you know?
Well, I'll say something to that. COVID hit hard, and it hit the Catholic Church hardest because the Catholic Church is a sacramental church.
Right.
The sacrament is at the heart of our existence. And so the sacrament is contact, being with people, listening to confessions, you know, receiving the Eucharist, all of that. And so COVID really hit us hard. And technically, we haven't recovered totally from that. Now,
in what way? You mean just from people coming back or?
Both people coming back. We haven't, because like, for example, Ash Wednesdays prior to COVID, we have 700 students at Georgia State University. We have about three masses, you know, we still COVID lingering, but after the height of it,
the lockdown,
you know, we averaging about 300 to 400. So we lost like almost half. You know what I'm saying? And those who came during COVID will be graduating, I think, this coming graduation, you know. But what happened was the whole AUC was shut down and Georgia State opened with limited students. I think on campus, Georgia State, they have about 500 students. Of the 500, we had 25 Catholic students. And so we did the chapel in a way. They came to Mass, but we did every precautionary thing to make sure. At our center, we never got COVID, thank God, you know. But we were very strict with things,
We talked a little bit about the challenges, and maybe you already spoke to this, but what are things you're doing, and maybe this is where we get into the retreats and stuff, but what are you doing to help these college students? You know what, before we get into that, hold on, I just realized I've got to let people know what's going on here.
There you go.
This is AM 1160 The Quest. This is our Quest for Holiness pledge drive, and we are looking for 100 new monthly donors. And that's fine, too, if you're already a monthly donor. If you want to up that just a little bit, we'll count that as a new monthly donor. So if you want to do that, we would love to have you call in 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app, thequestatlanta.com. We'll work too. Tell you what, I was going to ask you a question here about, you know, trying to help teens through the issues that we talked about. But why don't we take a little break right now? And then we'll be back shortly we're talking campus ministry with Father Bob, Father Mark, and Sean.
You're listening to the Quest for Holiness Fall Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. If you're moved to make a pledge, please call 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations and pledges from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Quest for Holiness pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
The Quest presents The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright.
The Ross family. Robert Ross, author of two best-selling book series.
As a writer, my job is to entertain first, because people are buying my books to be entertained. I'm not writing documentaries. I'm also not writing, strictly speaking, Christian or Catholic fiction. What I try to do is Catholic inception. I put these concepts in and I sow the seeds.
Hear this entire conversation on The Family Room podcast at thequestatlanta.com. New episodes Wednesday mornings at 11 on AM 1160, The Quest.
The Quest would like to wish a very happy birthday today to Father Tomaru Atraga.
Happy birthday!
Please join us in the gift of a birthday prayer for Father Tomaru Atraga from you, our listeners, as we say, God our Father, we give thanks to you for Father Tomaru, whose birthday we celebrate today. We thank you for his devotion to you and the role he serves as a shepherd of the church. May he enjoy the beauty of your love today in many little ways. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you're looking for a place to volunteer, you can literally find hundreds of opportunities at various organizations right near where you live. So how do you narrow that down? Well, did you know that AM 1160 The Quest requires many, many volunteers just to stay on the air? Listen to why these people volunteer at The Quest.
The team that we have here is just so wonderful, and they're so kind-hearted.
Why The Quest? I wanted to do something that had as its core Catholicism, a spiritual element to it, anything and everything related to the church, you know, Jesus Christ as its core. All those things pointed towards, at the time I really didn't understand it or didn't connect the dots, but all those things sort of pointed to The Quest.
Everything we do is Christ-centered.
No matter your skill set, we could use your help. To volunteer, just go to thequestatlanta.com and click Contact Us. Thank you in advance from AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
The Quest presents Mom Minutes with Cameron Frad from Among the Lilies.
Sometimes as a mom, I think that we think we need to have it all together and we need to show our kids that we have it all together. But I don't think that's true. I think one of the greatest things we can do with our children is tell them when we mess up. Tell them, like, you know what? Mommy made a mistake here and I'm very sorry. I did something that was not okay and I shouldn't have done it. I do it when I lose my temper with my children and I say, please forgive me for losing my temper. And my children say, Mom, I forgive you. Teaching your child to admit when they've been wrong and asking for forgiveness is huge. I encourage you to use this language with your children. Model it. Show it. My husband and I say it to each other. We say it to our kids. When we do something wrong, we don't say, oh, well, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Or just sorry. It's please forgive me. And then receiving that and saying, I forgive you. I love you. You don't have to be perfect as a mom. Be real. Be honest. Seek forgiveness when you make mistakes.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
We've all heard it said before.
Catholics aren't pro-life, they're pro-birth, and it ends there. Pro-lifers don't care about mothers or babies after they're born.
But that's simply not true. Help take away that pro-abortion talking point by supporting Walking with Moms in Need, an initiative helping pregnant and parenting women in need. Your parish is called to help these moms in need. Some parishes in the Archdiocese already have this program in place, providing a variety of assistance to moms, including things like maternity clothing, children's clothing, diapers, and having baby showers for moms who chose life. Your time, talent, and treasure are needed. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is asking each parish to create their own Walking with Moms in Need program. If your parish has not started the program, ask how you can help start it. To learn more about Walking with Moms in Need and how you can help, go to walkingwithmoms.com.
The Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And I am told that we do have some chicken salad chick cards left. If you want to make a donation, whether it's a one-time donation, we're looking for mostly monthly donations, though. So if you want to swing that, that would be great. You can pick up one of those. Also, the matching money is still on the table. We've got $3,000 up until 4 o'clock, 24 minutes from now. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. Sean, do you know anybody named Carol from Carrollton?
Yeah. Carol Nelson, probably, or what's her last name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're thankful. She made a donation
She's awesome.
In your name.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah. She's a blessing. She's a great woman. So.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Carol, for doing that. Carol from Carrollton. Was Carrollton named after her? Probably not.
It definitely was.
It was, okay. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, so this is the pledge drive. I mentioned the matching money, chicken salad chick gift cards, that's all on the table. Plus, you're going to get the Magnificat magazine if you donate. And if you are a monthly donor, in fact, Carol, mm-hmm. I usually don't talk about donating, but she made a monthly donation.
Hey.
Okay, so that was very nice. So she's going to get, as a thank you, two digital gifts from the Apologetics Collection with Trent Horn. That's by Catholic Answers. So that's a very cool thing. So just a little incentive there. Also, a leadership donor, if you give a gift of $1,000 or more, as a thank you, you're going to get a beautiful relic rosary. So that's awesome. So a gift of $1,000 or more. So there's all sorts of ways to give. Just 470-508-1160. We were talking, I was about to change the subject. Did you have more to say on what we were talking about with Father Mark?
Yeah, I guess, you know, we were talking about, like, what are the a lot of the college students in this day and age searching for and so forth. And I do. And I think they're searching for, you know, the answers to some of life's biggest questions, you know, and what, you know, why am I here? And, you know, and kind of the problem of evil, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And, what's so great about Jesus Christ? Like, he's a savior. What is he saving me from? Why should I want to be in, like, live my life for Jesus? And, you know, and kind of like, okay, well, if I am a Christian, you know, or a Catholic, you know, what should I do? How should I live the whole moral thing? And so I think a lot of kids are searching for that. And the good thing about, I think, the Catholic centers is we have a lot of programs and things, and we have our own programming and content we do. And obviously one-on-one's the best. But then there's also, you know, some great stuff, you know, kind of out of the box. And Chris Stefanik's a search series does a great job with that. And Father John Ricardo and his rescue project is another good one. And so we do, I think we all probably utilize a lot of some of those types of programs, as well as our own custom programming and just, again, walking with people one-on-one to answer those questions. And because they are searching for more. They feel like they were made for more, and just helping them to shed light on that.
You know, and I'll say, too, you know, you're talking about, you know, Father Ricardo, and did you mention Father Mike Schmitz?
He would be another
he's,
one.
He's know, another one.
Presents,
yeah, know. Yeah. But there's all sorts of good stuff out there, but really not as much for that demographic as there is for others as well, maybe a little bit older people. I just want to, this is a great time for me to mention also Honest to God, which is our local program that we produce here at The Quest, and it's targeted toward the young adults, the, you know, college age and maybe even after. Sean, your age, you know, we're looking at young married people, but, you know, but I mean, and check it out, because, you know, they have a wide range of topics that they do on that show, from, you know, I mean, very serious ones like natural family planning, or they talk about Disney characters, or, you know, but everything in between. And it's always got the Catholic spin on it, I guess. I don't know if that's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying. It's got a slant.
Yep.
It's always based in Catholicism. And so it's a great place for them to come and feel, you know, I mean, these are all just normal people that are, you know, come together for this show. And we've had over 100 panelists in the show's been on 1 year, and we've had over 100 panelists, and it's an awesome show. But if that's the kind of thing, if you're interested in the campus ministry, if you're interested in young adults, we need your support, because it you know, yes, it's run by volunteers, but there's still expenses that need to be covered. So if you would like to do that, the Quest for Holiness pledge drive is going on, 470-508-1160, and you can help support us. We still have that matching money up to $3,000 this hour, and we still have those chicken salad chick gift cards, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, so anyway, I was talking earlier, and when I was about to change the subject on you, so we talked about some of the challenges, but what are you doing to try and help teens through these challenges? You know, and I know, and maybe this is the place to bring up retreats. I know we've mentioned retreats a couple times here, but, you know, is that the kind of thing that, well, and you were even mentioning a hike too, right, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, retreats, I mean, I just think about what I would have wanted whenever I was in college. And if I was kind of iffy about the faith, and kind of what would be a good non-intrusive inviting way for me to you know, learn about Jesus or learn about the faith. And I think a retreat is a very, you know, it's a great way to invite someone just away from campus, just kind of just to get away and not have to deal with the hustle and bustle of campus life. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, we're going to the mountains next weekend on a weekend trip, and it's beautiful. You're in nature. You get to see God's creation. You get to hear the word. You get to be with your peers in an environment that is cultivated in Christ and in the Catholic faith. And you get to sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You get to be silent. You get to reflect. You get to sing praise with your peers. And that just is an environment where you can encounter Christ. And that's what I think retreats are aimed towards, is for mm-hmm. helping these students cultivate a relationship with Christ. And also, you know, maybe it, like presenting the kerygma to them for the first time, having the gospel message presented to them for the first time, and having them say yes to God. Because, I mean, what we're doing to these students is we're asking them to change their lives, change the way they've been living. When you say yes to Jesus and say yes to, you know, being Catholic, you have to live different. Like, if you're normal amongst your, you know, especially on a secular campus, if you're seen as normal, then, you know, you're probably not living the gospel message. And, right. you know, you want to be able to live in the secular world, but you want to be able to present the gospel message boldly as well. And I think the retreats present that opportunity for students to experience Christ in a inviting way. And so it's a great place to even bring non-Catholics, for them to see what this whole Catholic faith is about, and to experience the Eucharist, which is the heart of our Catholic faith, for the first time, and see, oh my gosh, that is Jesus Christ. I remember the first time when I realized the Eucharist was real, because I went to Mass for the first 10 times. I thought it was weird. I was like, I didn't know what was going on the altar. I definitely didn't think it was Jesus. I thought it was just a cracker that they sure. gave out, symbolic or whatever.
Why wouldn't you think that?
I just wanted to be with my wife. That's all I cared about. I just was next to her, like, just wanted her to like me more.
So she was Catholic, I think, all
yeah.
along?
Okay. She was, and we weren't married then. I was probably still, you know, in the friend zone a little bit, but I was trying to get out of it. So I wanted to just kind of, you know, support her and her faith. But man, once I realized the Eucharist was real, everything changes once you realize that Christ existed. Christ, all that the Word says is true, and He is the Word, and He is the Son, and He died for me. Once you realize that, your whole life changes, and once you say yes, you have to be different and live differently. I was a different person 5 years ago, and I am who I am now only by, you know, the grace of God and the Holy Spirit leading me. And all we're trying to do is present these students with the opportunity to say yes to Christ, because He's inviting them. We just have to get them to realize that and allow the Holy Spirit to take over. The Holy Spirit's the one at work, you know, and we just have to, the retreats are a great place to present that invitation to that calling. So,
and you mentioned it at the beginning when you started talking here, but it was something to the effect of, you know, presenting it in a way, I mean, obviously, and Father Mark and Father Bob, I think, maybe you two can speak to this, because I'm assuming you haven't always been doing ministry for the campus ministry, right, throughout your priesthood. So,
no.
I was pastor
before, and now.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm guessing is that when you're a pastor, or, you know, a priest at a parish or whatever, it's a little different. I mean, these people are kind of established, you know, maybe if they're in their 40s or 50s or 60s or whatever, they know what the faith is all about. They know what the Eucharist is. They're coming to you for different reasons, whereas these younger people, the college students, you kind of have to present it in a different way, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in what way? I mean, how is that different?
Well, you go ahead, Father Bob.
Well, one of the things I would point to, so we had the Archdiocese and our priest retreat last week, and we had about 100 priests go on retreat.
Oh, that was with Father Ricardo.
Yes.
And, yeah, yeah.
And that would be an example. Like, he has a great way of representing the gospel, but in a way that's fresh, a way that's inspiring. And you just want to drink it anew. And I don't care how long you've been walking with Christ, there was something you're going to pull out of one of his talks and all. And I think for a lot of the students coming to our Catholic Center, it's like they've heard about Jesus before, but they could probably tell you a lot of things about Jesus, but they haven't really encountered Jesus. They don't really, they know about Jesus, but do they really know Jesus? And so I think a lot of our job is, can we present you know, the gospel afresh and anew in a way that they are in awe of or that want to receive, that they recognize this is something, different and powerful, and I want to drink it in. And so I think we're trying, pulling out an old, religious ed book, or something like that, right. And sitting down, for them, they're looking for something, kind of the new evangelization, new methods, new order, and so forth. And I think we are trying to do that with a lot of what we do, and
And Father Mark, I want you to speak to that in just a second, but I just want to say something off of what you said, Father Bob, is that you were talking about the Eucharist and all that. And I saw a statistic, and I forget the exact percentage, but there's a significant number of practicing Catholics who don't realize that the Eucharist is the living God, that it actually is Jesus there. Yeah. And I'm going to guess that of these college students, that number is probably higher than what it is for older Catholics. I don't know, but I mean, do you see students coming that don't, it's like, oh, really? That's honestly Jesus? Or do you not see that so much?
Well, I guess it's probably a yes and no. As far as if you look at the whole cross section of our campus that calls them, right. Would put down their Catholic, you're probably right. It's probably a lower percentage. But as far as the most of the people that come to our Catholic center have a very strong devotion to the Blessed Sacrament and adoration. And so one of our challenges is not just to preach to the choir, so to speak, and minister to those already, but how do we help them to reach out and bring in, some of the flock that doesn't believe in as Catholic, maybe in name only. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a challenge in being more not maintenance mode and just taking care of the little flock we have, and have a great little family, and it's wonderful. But Jesus Christ wants more kids from on campus to come, and we have a little bit more of an evangelization and apostolic mindset. And I think we're trying to foster that in our students. And
Father Mark.
Yeah, just to pick up from where Father Bob started, there's this maintenance mode, but then there's the mission mode. The mission mode is where at the Lighthouse we will be having training session in how to train young people to be missionary disciples and peer evangelizers. Now, coming to the Eucharist, every year in September, after they come, they settle down a little bit. Mm-hmm. In September, actually, like two Sundays ago, September 10th, we had a back-to-school barbecue. Mm-hmm. But that is a celebration because we have had the liturgy and ministry workshop the Thursday before that Sunday. Uh-huh. So the liturgy and ministry workshop creates that plane. We go through the mass, we go through the epiclesis, the transubstantiation, those technical, what is happening when the priest is acting in persona Christi. Mm-hmm. What is going on in the mass, the most sacred moment, so they get to learn that before we get deeper into the school year.
Yeah.
And then we celebrate that workshop, all the students in ministry and some of their friends, we celebrate that Sunday with a back-to-school barbecue. Then they can eat and enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. So, but that's a very important thing. So now, what Father Bob was saying is that we have to be innovative. Mm-hmm. We have to be creative. To engage our current emerging adults and young adults. So technically, the college age from 18 to 25, the technical name is emerging adults. That is the technical name. Mm-hmm. They are emerging adults. Mm-hmm. And then when they pass that phase, they become young adults and then adults. Mm-hmm. You see, mm-hmm. so that's that. But we have to be creative to engage them.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. We're talking with Father Bob Frederick, Father Ure Mark, and Father.
Brother Sean.
He's a dad, though. He's a dad.
Yeah.
Sean Stassi, and they are all run campus ministries at various campuses around the Atlanta metro. And this is the Quest for Holiness pledge drive here on AM 1160 The Quest. And I want to mention that if you're getting something out of this conversation that we're having, I want to direct you over toward another program that we have. It's called Honest to God. And it is it's run by young people, by young adults, and it's all about what their interests and you know, they always say, what do they say? We have to meet them where they are.
Right.
And I think this show does a good job of meeting them where they are. You know, I think I mentioned earlier, I mean, some of the topics they have, you know, they had one show was all about tattoos. You know, let's talk about tattoo. Yeah. Well, it is demographic.
Yes, yeah.
It totally is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, in one of their most popular episodes was Finding Mr. Right. Mm-hmm. They had three women, three young adult women talking about what they're looking for in a man. Yeah. That was the highest rated episode because, I mean, all the guys are like, I want to hear this, you know? So, and I think Finding Mrs. Right was like, a close second behind that one, you know. But anyway, what I'm getting at here is that if this is important to you, if you have kids, if you have grandkids that are in this demographic, college age, and maybe a little after, we're trying to reach them, and it takes resources. We had to go out, and all three of you probably know this, but to reach that demographic, it wasn't, you know. They're like AM radio. What what is that? What,
right.
They barely know what FM is. Let alone AM. So we've got to meet them where they're at. They're on YouTube, and you know they're on Spotify. So, but we had to equip the studio with cameras in order to reach. You know, otherwise, because if it was just audio, yeah, we reach a significant portion, but our YouTube channel is blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget how many followers. I don't call me a liar, but it's like maybe 800, 1,000, something like that we've gotten within a year.
Wow.
And it's awesome. So if you want us to continue to reach this demographic, we do need your help. Like I said, we bought these cameras, and there are other things we need to invest in as well. They want to do this other thing called Roman Catholic, where they roam around and with cameras and talk to young Catholic people, you know. But again, it costs money to do all this stuff.
Yep.
So if you want to donate to help progress this, the Quest for Holiness pledge drive is what's going on right now. 470-508-1160 is the number. You can also do it from the app. You can do it from thequestatlanta.com, from our website. And we're looking for monthly donors. We need to get 100 monthly donors in here before tomorrow evening. So if I don't care. I mean, if it's $5 a month, that's wonderful. Yep. Okay, if you could swing $100 a month, that's great too. So once again, 470-508-1160. We're coming up to the end here. I don't know if there's anything you know, maybe you had on your mind that you wanted to maybe make sure we talked about, or that we haven't talked about. As far as, you know, campus ministry and all that. But it, you know, I don't know. I mean, is there anything we haven't talked about as far as, like, you know, reaching them and, you know, maybe like, and I think we've covered, you know, all the issues that they're dealing with. And
I like to add something. You see, the emerging adults, they are at a very unique stage of development in life. And sometimes, you know, and now we are in what we call the digital age. You know, sometimes, you know, their parents may not even understand them. You know, sometimes, you know, it's hard for them to even understand what's going on in themselves. So there's need for, you know, I would say patience. There's need for empathy. You know, to empathize with a young person, even if that's your grandkid or your kid, you know, and they may be doing things you don't like, or they're going through their own struggles, empathize with them. Try to understand them, you know, try to talk with them. You know, they all with their phones and stuff like that, because that's the age we are in. So there's a whole generational divide. You know, from one generation to the next.
And there was, and from my parents to me.
Exactly. So there's the need for this intergenerational communication. And the only way we can do that is to empathize, to try to understand, to ask questions, and to engage them. Not to shut them off or to shut them down, you know, but to lift them up. And above all, to pray for our young people. Thank you.
You reminded me of something, and it kind of goes along with what you were saying, but I've got two teenage boys, and my oldest graduated in 22, so last year graduated high school. And then his younger brother was a sophomore that year that he was a senior. Well, he had to do this senior project. He had to do a video presentation. And he asked his brother, Eli, he said, Eli, would you watch this and tell me what you think? And Eli, they love each other. They're good kids. But he gave him, no, I won't. I'm not doing that. And so I overheard this, and I said, hey, if you want me to watch it, I'll watch it. And he said, no, he said, I wanted him to tell me if he thought it was funny or not. Like, I can't do that.
That's a generational stuff.
Exactly. But his brother can tell him if it's funny. But I used to do stand-up comedy, I got a sense of humor, but no, he couldn't let me see it, So that's the generational gap that we have here. So anyway, I think we've come to the end here. I thank you all for, first of all, for what you do on the campuses. And also, but I thank you for coming here and spending time. And I know you had other things you could have been doing instead of, fighting your way through traffic to get here and to get home and everything. But we appreciate it. We also appreciate Philip and Pat from Atlanta. We also thank John from Roswell and Kelly from Duluth. Thank you all very much for supporting the Quest during our Quest for Holiness pledge drive here on AM 1160, The Quest.